Welcome to the Bible Girl Podcast. I'm Jessica Robinson, and I have a great love for God's Word, journal writing, and colorful writing instruments. I combine these loves into one great passion, studying God's Word. Welcome to the podcast. Today we're going to be talking about seeing God in the daily events of our lives. I'm excited to talk about this topic, partly because I kind of like the Old Testament stories that we're going to be covering very briefly today, and partly because I've recently been challenging myself to really look for God and look for the ways that He's working in my life, and He's been answering that prayer. And so I'm going to talk to you a little bit about that today and hopefully encourage you a little bit to look for God in the events of your day. If you remember a couple of podcasts ago, if you've been following along with me, we studied a little bit about the patriarchs and their life in the Old Testament. In the very first book of the Bible, in the book of Genesis, we started with Abram and Sarah and kind of followed their family along. And as we dug into the story, we found some really interesting concepts. And one of the stories in particular that really spoke to me and was such an encouragement to me was the story of Jacob as he is fleeing for his life. If you remember in our story, he deceives his father and he runs for his life. And as he does so, he gets to this place. It's kind of just before he gets to the border of leaving the promised land that his grandfather had been given. And he stops for the night in this place called Bethel. As sundown comes, he sets up camp, stops for the night, and he's lost his family. He's lost his future. He has no idea what's in store for him. All of his scheming and planning for his birthright worked. He got the birthright. But after fleeing away for his life, I'm sure he had to wonder if it was worth it and when he would ever get a chance to see his family again. He falls asleep and he has this dream of a stairway coming down from heaven, and angels are going up and down the stairway. And God reiterates the blessing that he had given to his Jacob's grandfather and reminded him that he is going to make of him a great nation. And even though things seem bleak at the moment, God still has a plan. And as Jacob awakes, he says, "Surely the Lord is in this place, and I wasn't even aware of it." And I've really been struck by that ever since I studied that back in the fall. The idea that God is around, he is doing things and we're not noticing. And I'm just as guilty of this as the next person. In fact, one of my prayers for this year is to help me see things with God's eyes, to help me see where he's working, to help me see what he's doing in my life, where he's leading me, how he's helping me grow, how he's blessing my life. It's just really easy to miss his work in our life. And we see that Jacob has this moment and realizes that in the midst of all that was going on, God is at work and God is here, and he didn't even notice. There's another great story, and I'm only going to briefly reference it just because of time. In Numbers chapter 22, there is a king who is very upset when the Israelites kind of begin to troop out of Egypt and head toward the promised land, and they're just kind of wandering around this wilderness area. There's a king in the area who's concerned. This is a massive amount of people that are moving into this land, and he doesn't want to lose control. He knows that they're going to need a place to stay. They're going to look for a place to live. And it's enough people that, you know, they have an army. They could take over. And he's very concerned. So he calls for a man named Balaam. Now, Balaam is not a Jew. He lived in this wilderness area between Egypt and the promised land. And he is a kind of a prophet. You know, he says whatever he feels like God is telling him to say. It's not real clear in some of the passages as to whether he is actually all the time a mouthpiece for God, or whether he's just a mouthpiece for other gods and he's kind of a charlatan. We see very much an attitude of greed with him. He is in this for money. And he has been summoned by this king, and the king would like him to curse the Israelites so that they have all kinds of problems happen and that they won't be able to overtake his land. So Balaam is, he refuses to do it, and you kind of get the idea he's trying to get some more money. And there's a bit of an argument back and forth. And in chapter 21 and chapter 22, you can read the whole story. But Balaam eventually agrees to go and to curse the Israelites. And he gets up on his donkey, and he goes with these men who have been sent to bring him to the king. And several times his donkey acts very strangely. One time his donkey veers off the road, and Balaam gets very angry at him. And then the next time the donkey crosses a hedge, a row of hedges, so closely that it scrapes his foot against the hedge, and he's very angry over that. And then a third time the donkey just lays down in the middle of the road while Balaam is sitting on his back, and he refuses to take another step. And Balaam gets off the donkey, and it says he takes his staff and he begins to beat at the donkey. And God gives the donkey the ability to speak. And in the next few verses, what happens is, I think, one of the funniest parts of scripture. I mean, this donkey begins to speak, and Balaam does not marvel at this. He actually begins to argue with the donkey. The donkey says, you know, why are you hitting me? And Balaam says, because you're not doing what I ask you to do. You're hurting me. You're embarrassing me. And he's all angry at this donkey. And the donkey replies, well, haven't I served you faithfully all these past years? And Balaam's kind of stopped for a second. And he's like, yeah, I guess you have. And he kind of looks around, and the Bible tells us that God opened his eyes and allowed him to see that an angel of the Lord was blocking his path, and that three different times this angel was poised to strike and to kill Balaam. But each time the donkey saved his life and stopped or veered away or did something so that Balaam's life was spared. Here's an incident where God is directly intervening in Balaam's life, and he doesn't see it. He doesn't notice. He recognizes nothing of God. It's interesting to me. He's supposed to be speaking for God, and yet he doesn't seem to recognize when he shows up. So I just want to kind of give you a couple of reasons today, in light of these two stories, about why we don't see God at work. A few years ago, I guess maybe 5 or 6, maybe even 7 years ago now, I tried to do a Sunday school program with a group of women where you would read through the Bible in a year. You'd read a section of scripture each day, and you would look around you and look and see, where do I see God? Where is God working in the world today? Where is he working in my life? Where is he working in the lives of other people? And you would ask these questions, and you would read the text, and you would ask yourself, you know, you would observe what was going on in your world and in your circumstances. And then on Sunday, you were to come together and share what God's been teaching you and where you've seen God. And of all the many classes I've tried and the many events and different things we've done over the years in my role as a women's ministry director, this was probably the biggest disaster as far as a class that we've ever had. It was a very frustrating experience for many of the people that took it, and I know a lot of it had to do with me. I was not able to clearly articulate the concept of looking for God, and we just really, really struggled with it. And as the class dwindled and dwindled and dwindled, I decided just to about a third of the way through the year, we just decided to give it up and do something else. And I have always thought about that ever since, about that struggle to notice God and to see where God was. And I did VBS a couple of years ago for the first time. I was kind of participating in VBS. And one of the things we were supposed to do with the children was ask them about God sightings. Where did you see God? And my first thought was, oh, great. You know, I couldn't pull this off with a group of adults. I don't know how I'm going to do this with kids. And the first night was a little rough, but as the week went on, the kids had some great answers. And after that, we've done it in VBS several years now. It's been really fun to see the kind of things that they think of and the ways that they see God. And I think of four reasons really why this is difficult for us. I think it's a lot easier for kids, but for us, I think it's a little harder. And there's some reasons. And the first one I think is kind of it applies to Jacob and even Balaam's story. We don't really expect to see him. I don't think that Jacob had any expectation that God was with him. I think Jacob knew that he did something wrong. I believe that his running for his life and his uncertainty over his future and what was going to happen to him, I think he felt like he was a lost cause. I don't think he ever expected God to show up there. He wasn't looking for him at all. And I think Balaam didn't really expect to see God. I'm not convinced that Balaam really was connected to God. I don't think that I think a lot of his prophesying and his revelation was certainly for money and not from any voice or wisdom from the true God. I don't think he expected God to show up in such a big way on that road. That day, I think that neither one of them expected God to be there at all. And I think sometimes we're like that. We're kind of practical atheists. I think it's easy for us to go to church and read our Bibles and believe God and then just kind of leave it sitting at our desk or in the church pew and go about the rest of our lives as if they're disconnected from God. We expect God to show up in the moments of worship when we're singing his praises or when we're sitting there with our Bible and we're reading his word or when we're talking to him in prayer. But when we're in a business meeting or we're at the PTA meeting or we're hanging out at our kids' school or we're in the grocery store checkout line or we're sipping a cup of coffee at the coffee shop, I think a lot of times we just don't expect God to show up there. It's like God kind of belongs in church or in our quiet time. And the rest of the time, we're on our own. And that's so not true. God is invested in our lives. He is invested in every part of this world. Everything matters to him because it's all accomplishing his purposes. And every opportunity out there, every choice you make has the opportunity to bring him glory and to contribute to your growth. And he is invested in all of those things. And so while we often don't expect to see him, he is still there. And I think we don't notice him because we're not looking. We're not looking for him. We don't expect that he would be there. Another reason I think that we don't see God in the daily events of our lives is that we're distracted. We're distracted by other things. Jacob was fleeing for his life. Balaam's eyes were on money. He was going to make quite a pretty penny from this king who had upped the price for his cursing the Israelites several times by the time we get to this road here with his donkey. They're distracted by other things. Their minds are elsewhere. And that certainly applies to us. I think that we live in an age of distraction where it's very easy to become overwhelmed with things and take our focus off what matters. It is really unbelievably easy, I think, to get up in the morning and to fall into your routine and to do much of your life through habit and then get to the end of your day and realize that you were just so distracted that you didn't notice God at all. I think distraction is one of those things that we're always going to fight against. I don't think that we can reach a point where we say, I've cleared away my distractions. I think distraction is just the battle we fight. We fight to keep focused on what's important. And it's a valid concern, and it's an important battle to fight. We need to be focused on what's important, or we're going to get to the end of our lives and realize we've done nothing worthwhile. We're not going to see God if we're continually distracted by something shiny or something pretty, if we're distracted by our greed or our own circumstances. We are not going to notice when God is at work, and we're going to miss him entirely. Another reason I think we miss God is because he comes in ways we don't expect. Certainly, I don't think that Jacob was expecting God to show up in a dream. I think Jacob was probably expecting that if he saw God at all, it would be in some form of punishment. I wonder how his mental state was as he was running away from his home, and probably was, you know, with the anger that his brother had toward him, and the frustration and devastation that was left in his wake. I'm sure that he wasn't expecting God to come to him with this beautiful image of angels coming up and down from heaven and a promise that he was still on his side. That was not at all, I believe, how Jacob was expecting to interact with God. And certainly Balaam was not expecting his donkey to start talking and this donkey to protect his life like this. These were out of the norm. And I think that instead of it, Balaam was interesting. He didn't even question that the fact that the donkey started to talk. I find that so odd. I guess, you know, I know that God can do anything, but we don't have a lot of record in the Bible of animals being able to speak. This had to have been unusual. And yet he argues with the donkey instead of realizing there's something strange going on here. He's not expecting God to show up like that. He's expecting God to show up in ways he controls. He's expecting God to show up in his circumstances the way he expects. And I think we do that too. I think we put God far too often into some very strict parameters that he cannot move around or move outside of. God is easily, it is too easy for us mentally to put God in a box, but he will not be confined there. And he will find a way to shake us up and come to us in ways we don't expect and in things that we're not looking for. I think when these unusual things come into your life, it's a good time. It's a good opportunity for you to stop and say, you know, what is God doing here? Is God trying to get my attention? Is there a message that God has? Is he trying to say something? Is he in this? I think those questions are really important to ask, especially when God might be showing up in a way that we hadn't expected. Lastly, I think we don't see God because we explain him away. And this is probably the one I think most people are familiar with. You know, something happens and it could be a coincidence. We don't have any firm evidence that it's God, so we explain it away. We explain those things and they're something else. A few years ago, I remember something happening and I felt like it was God just doing something kind for me. And I remember thinking, if I tell anybody this, they'll think I'm insane. And this is a long story, and I don't have time to tell it on the podcast. I just remember feeling like this couldn't possibly be God, could it? And the more I thought about it, the more I thought, no, it wasn't God. It was just my imagination. And months later, I happened to be reading something in scripture, and that popped into my head, and I knew that was God. I missed that. That was God. He was speaking to me in a very small way. Just recently, to give you a more concrete example that's a little shorter, I was sick last week. I've been fighting through a bad stomach virus that's been going around. A lot of my friends and family have had it, and my turn came last week, and I was indoors a couple of days by myself, just kind of trying to get through it. And as I started to feel a little bit better, I was starting to get hungry, but I didn't have a lot of food in the house. And I had to be a little bit careful about what I ate because my stomach was still really nauseous. So I went to the grocery store and I picked up some saltine crackers and some fruit and a few cans of soup and some bread and cheese for grilled cheese and some ham for ham and cheese sandwiches and just a few odds and ends from the grocery store. But by the time I got to the checkout line, I was really weak and tired. I really wasn't in any shape to be out. And I was just trying to get a few things and get back. And as I got through the checkout line and I was started to walk out to my car, I could just feel my energy just flowing out of me. It was gone. And as I'm putting the groceries into the back of my car, I start praying. And I just said, Lord, you know, help me get home. I'm just so tired. Let me make it home safely and get these groceries in the house. And I just was just asking God for help. And right as I shut the trunk of my car, I looked up and realized that there were no cart returns really close. I was going to have to walk quite a ways to be able to put my cart in one of the little return areas. And right then, a woman stepped out of her car and said, "Ma'am, I'll take your cart." And I was just at that moment, like, so relieved that I did not have to walk and walk that cart over in the shape that I was in. And the lady came over and took it, and I thanked her, and I got in the car, and I knew that was God. God did that. And I thanked God for providing that woman at the right moment so that I did not have to walk all that way. I had prayed and I had asked for his help, and he provided it. And that's one of those things that people could explain away. People could say, well, that's just a coincidence that she happened to be there. And, you know, you can believe that if you want. But I think if we look for God, we're going to find that he's far more active in our lives than we realize. I think that if we take those times when he blesses us and he does these little things for us, like a parking space toward the front of the store when you've got three kids in the car and they're all hungry and tired and you just have one more stop, God gives you that great parking space, or the times when someone comes along with your cart, or when you find a $5 bill on the floor of the parking lot, or just something. God does these things, and you could explain them away if you wanted to. But I think it's better to begin to imagine for just a moment that that was God, and that he was here, and that he was working in your life, and he was blessing you. It's possible that that lady would have come along even if I hadn't prayed. I don't know that, but I know I did pray, and I know that God answered. I think part of learning to see God is not explaining away the circumstances that come our way, not trying to find a logical explanation, and instead admitting the fact that God does care about us, and that truly could have been a gift from him. Learning to see God means that we have to be willing to see him in places that we don't expect. We have to put aside our distractions and keep our gaze fixed on him. We have to expect him to show up. And when he does, we can't explain it away. John chapter 10, verse 14, Jesus says, "I am the good shepherd. I know my own sheep, and they know me." In other portions of John, he says, "My sheep hear my voice and they follow me. They know who I am and they come with me." I think this is part of getting to know Jesus, knowing who he is looking for him and seeing what he's doing in our lives. If we look, I think we'll see. Thanks for joining me today. If you have any questions or comments, you can email me at tobiblegirl@icloud.com. That's tobiblegirl@icloud.com. I'm on Twitter, Goodreads, and Instagram as Jessie L. Robinson, all one word. You can download today's show notes on my podcast page at biblegirl.podbean.com. You can also visit my blog at www.journalmoxie.com. I hope you join me again for another episode of Bible Girl.